The American dream has become a nightmare.
And we're living it.
Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading.
Well, there's an here we are, folks. And back at the, you know, the National Intelligence Report. And I am Mike Gatti. My first time here with you on this particular hour. And I hope, you know, there's no way to enjoy what I just told you. But I hope that you are beginning to understand. And I know I catch a lot of flack by saying that our Constitution was actually socialist from the very beginning. But it is. It is, and it was designed to be socialist. And it was an oligarchy. Thomas Jefferson said it was an oligarchy. Because your final arbiter is people who aren't elected and people who work for the government. You have no say-so. Try to overturn a Supreme Court decision and see how that works for you. Try to tell them that they are wrong and they need to reverse their opinions. But the thing we know is that these people who came into America in 1848 through there formed their own party, the Republican Party. The Republican Party's first president was Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was 100% pure socialist. He closed down over 300 newspapers in the North. Where is that in the Constitution? He arrested over 25,000 people. Many of them were put into prison without probable cause, without any trial or anything else. The first three states that Abraham Lincoln invaded happened to be border states, but they were still in the Union. And then what did he do? He sent military forces in to arrest the legislatures, if necessary, to prevent them from voting for secession. And today, that wonderful Republican Party still celebrates. The Republican Party still celebrates the party of Abraham Lincoln. And he was an abject socialist. And it hasn't gotten any better since Lincoln. We continue down the socialist path. And, you know, you can look at so much legislation and look at it, and you will see that it coincides perfectly with the Communist Manifesto. Try to name a government bureaucracy that is not socialist in its operation. There is no other way, people. You have to look at and you have to face the facts. And I know we've been taught, you know, from day one about how wonderful this Constitution is and how it was inspired by God and all this other stuff. And that is an absolute fallacy. But if I wanted to get you to buy something that was going to destroy you, but which was going to make me a lot of money, I would tell you all kind of lies about it too, wouldn't I? There is no recourse in this Constitution for what's happening. There is none. How many people are aware that we have state constitutions? I know everyone is probably aware of their state constitution. Did you know that there are provisions in that state constitution that if you try to enforce, you can go to federal prison? Almost every Bill of Rights in all 50 of the state constitution states you have the right to abolish the government. Well, try that, folks. There were some folks tried that in Washington. You know, when was that? January 6th. They tried to do exactly that. Where are they? They have no constitutional rights. People, you just have no constitutional rights. And, hey, I'm glad to see we have the lovely Frances from North Carolina here. Frances, how are you this evening, lady?
I'm here, young man. You really know how to flatter somebody, don't you? But I'll take it the same, though. Go figure.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, the first part of the Constitution is for the corporate business attorneys, whatever have you, and the Bill of Rights supposedly is for the everyday person. Or if I got that backwards, or not at all.
No, you have it right. Allegedly, it's for, but we just had in Missouri just a couple of weeks ago, we had a federal judge say that the Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Paragraph 2 of the Constitution, overrules the Bill of Rights.
Oh, joy. Well, talk about smoke and mirrors illusions. I tell you what, that's a royal kick in the whatever you want to call it. So, go figure. I'm just a little bit perplexed by one simple thing. This may not be so simple. Abraham Lincoln was a Democrat or Republican?
Oh, there was no doubt about it, the fact he was a Republican. He's the first Republican president elected. Now, they ran a president, Charles Fremont, in 1856, but he didn't do so well. And he was an avowed socialist as well.
Okay. Well, in that case, I was, cause first, my first impression was that he was a Democrat or whatever, and that's why I was thinking, why would the Republican Party be so nutsy bongo over Abraham Lincoln, for that matter? But now I can see why, even though there's some major fiascos that he created, as it were, as far as the various states that were invaded, which I need to do research better on, but... There are so many things that are, it makes you kind of wonder if you really allow yourself to wonder about it and actually bother to research it, though in this technological age, as it were, mechanically, a lot of people are like, do it later, I'll do it later, I'd rather watch this or watch that, it's more tantalizing or titillating or whatever have you, and so forth. So I find it quite fascinating, to say the least.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And you know, entertainment captures the minds of most Americans anyway. I mean, you know, tell someone that they could sit down and have some in-depth discussion about their own history, or mm-hmm. if they wanted to watch a ball game on TV, which one will they pick?
They'll take the football game.
Oh, all the time.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm, be it that I go to a actual football game, not a problem. At least I have some more to look at than just what's on the presented on what I call the boob tube, for that matter. So I've been to a football game in the and decades past, actually back in the 90s, and so I thought it was quite fascinating because I could actually see other things as well as what was going on with each play. But what's so funny is that when you deal with it on the boob tube, you're subjected to this. You're subjected to that. Who's got the bloody remote? Who's got the brew? Who's got the snacky popcorn or whatever have you? And so forth and so on, ad nauseum. And it's like, okay, I'm leaving the room until they actually get to a play and I have to worry about doing halftime shows with a bunch of scantily dressed, who knows what, dudes, gals, whatever have you, and their perpetrated advertising of whatever kind of garbage they want to feed the everyday public. I can't be wise to get a sale out of them. But at the same time, they haven't a clue what they're watching, except for someone kicking around a ball that looks like a cigar or whatever that's short, and so forth. So I hate to analogize that the way I did, but it's the honest truth. To me, it's pointless. And come to find out that various conglomerates are paying big time to advertise on those football shows or basketball, baseball. Oh, don't get me started about baseball. That's a pickle in a barrel. It cracks me up, and I'm like, okay, fine. Just let me go to another room. You can watch this, and I'm going to go do something more creative that I can actually tangibly use from that day forward, for that matter. So it's quite fascinating. So aside from that, when people finally get the idea that the Constitution is really not what they thought it was and it's been rigged against them, I'm brought back to the analogy that carrying I have no problem with people carrying a copy of the Constitution with them, but I recall the comment about that carrying it around is like carrying an unloaded firearm.
Yes.
And to me, that was priceless, because that said so much. Because it's not like you can, if you're confronted by law enforcement, depending on what you're pulled over for or confronted by law enforcement for, just because you present that copy of it to them, do you really think that's going to keep them from slapping handcuffs on you, depending on what you did start with or didn't do? I don't think so.
Probably make them do it faster.
Well, there's that, too, not to mention how big of a much more bigger fine that you're going to get hit with. Again, depending on if you did something or not, that's the bigger question. A lot of people do something very minor to be totally harmless or whatever have you is, okay, I got arrested for this, but, you know, it didn't make sense. It didn't add up, and so forth. And then for some people, it'd be like, oh, gosh, I just robbed a bank. Really? Can't think of something else better than robbed in a bank? I mean, that don't add up to me psychologically. I mean, if you're desperate, you'd go into some other store or whatever that's not so locked down as a bank is, you know, or stand outside of an ATM machine whenever you have a lot of people lined up there and getting money or whatever and say, okay, here's your share and whatever and go on about your life. But to go and hold up a bank this same time is really stupid unless you know somebody in the security team or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
I mean,
Francis, go ahead. I'm sorry, Lee.
No, you're fine. But I really do need to go. But and speaking of that, I'll have lime, coconut, and pineapple in my pumpkin pie since Corona's been desecrated by a drag queen. So with that, have a fun weekend.
All right. Thanks for the call, Francis. And we're going to jump now all the way out to California A to I was going to call him a reprobate, but no, nah, that might make him angry. We don't want to do that. Scorpio, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I've been enjoying the show, and gosh, you know, I can't believe you were talking about Abraham Lincoln that way, but no, just kidding. But you know, Mike, I always think of when I was on the way to visit Daryl in Alabama. I stopped at this little Confederate gift shop kind of place, and they had a picture of Abraham Lincoln in the urinal. I'll never forget that.
Well, I can remember going into a couple of military back, way back when, going into a couple of military bathrooms back in the day, and they had a picture of Jane Fonda in the urinal. So,
and only Jane, yes.
Yeah, either one would work fine. But, Dave, you guys this morning, you guys had a really great show. You and that my fellow friend up there in South Carolina, Stephen Douglas Whitener, and you guys were on with this morning, and you had kind of a round table, and it was good. But you brought up something that I wanted to call in and talk to you about, but there were four of you guys, and your conversation was so good, I certainly didn't want to interrupt anything and, drag somebody off in another direction. So what do you want to talk about, buddy?
Well, yeah, we were kind of texting back and forth about this, you know, arrest of these Proud Boys, which that's another subject unto itself, what they're really about. But the fact that these people were charged and convicted of seditious conspiracy and are facing, well, at least they're facing possibly 20 years. Some people are saying possibly even longer. And of course, nobody was killed. Nobody was injured. It's a Civil War era charge here, and it's just actually an incredible idea that we're back to this in the United States, and a total of 600 people have been arrested in conjunction with the January 6th Super Show, the self-guided tour that Donald Trump invited the people to go on, essentially.
Well, you know, Dave, again, I want to jump back even to the Declaration of Independence and then to look at, the state constitutions, which state very clearly that you have a right to alter or abolish this government. Was that not what the folks on January the 6th were trying to do?
Well, I really, you know, honest to God, I think most of them were just there to hear Trump talk, and then they were sort of led by FBI Judas goats into the Capitol building. And yes, people were very upset. I don't think they actually thought they were going to do anything that radical. They were just waving flags around and, you know, hoping to stir up the pot a little bit. I think it was actually fairly innocent for the most part, but the Judas goats that were working for the FBI that glow in the dark really are the ones that led people in there. And of course the guards let them in and actually showed them around the building. So the whole thing is pretty screwy. And I actually know a guy who was inside the building. He actually walked into the building and he faced charges and pled guilty. But one thing he told me that was really strange, Mike, is that when he walked inside the Capitol building, there was already media, you know, inside the building with cameras and, you know, news crews already there. And they had no interest in photographing him or having anything to do with him. They only wanted to photograph, you know, the Buffalo guy and the people around him, you know, the Buffalo shaman guy, you know, that looked like Fred Flintstone. Yeah. So I just thought that was a strange thing.
But, Dave, I would say I'm going to be a little contrary here, and I would tell you that the people there who were there honestly were trying to alter, maybe not abolish, but they were there to try to alter the government because of the election.
I agree with that. Yeah, I think people are very upset. There was a lot of evidence that things were not quite right with that election. No question about that. I just remember covering the election kind of live, and then Trump was ahead in all these states. So we went to bed, and lo and behold, Biden was ahead in all those states. Pretty weird.
And that's what happens when you let the government count the votes. What was it Marx said?
I think Stalin said it doesn't matter who votes.
Yeah,
it matters
Stalin,
who counts the votes.
Yeah, it matters who counts them. And let's not forget, I heard in a commercial a little while ago or something like that, and it troubles me, I'm sorry, but please, folks, please don't say we live in a democracy. Because the good old Karl Marx said, he said democracy is the first step to communism.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Karl Marx was actually very perceptive about a lot of things. He was an evil man. He had an evil mind, but he also said that capitalism would end in essentially monopoly as well.
Yes. And also let's take a look at the fact that, Karl Marx had a Jewish mother and a Jewish father, but the Jewish community says he wasn't Jewish.
Yeah. His grandfather was a rabbi too, but never mind that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's amazing the way these things go. But Dave, tell me, you heard me blather on about the wonderful Communist Manifesto. How much of that were you aware of?
Well, I was only aware of it through hearing you talk before, Mike, to be honest, from other conversations and stuff we've had. So I've learned a lot from you over the years.
Well, and I've learned from you as well, my friend. And I'm sitting here at that table where we had we had one of our first live programs, right?
Oh, that was great. Yeah. 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 You know, we really are fulfilling all the planks of communism. It's incredible. And now I guess what was on my mind, Mike, and I wanted to get your take on this, is it really seems like we're sort of at this stage where dissidents are going to be dealt with one way or another. And you've got these hate crime laws in Florida now, and the Proud Boys, I think they were essentially some kind of group that was controlled by intelligence operatives. And I think it's hard to know if these guys were in on the fix or not, if they were just dupes, we'll never know. But there were certainly low-hanging fruit to be harvested. And it should be chilling to everybody, no matter what you think of these guys, that you can do 20 years in prison for a nonviolent crime. I mean, nobody was killed. Nobody was hurt. I mean, what's going
Absolutely,
on? What's
buddy.
Your take on that?
Well, we got the music coming. We'll come back on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Isn't it great? Takes me back. And Dave, you were asking a question when we went to break, buddy. What was that question again, please, sir?
Well, in regards to sort of the demonization and actually illegalization of dissidents, where do you think we're at now? I mean, you know, I think the Proud Boys are obviously suspects. So is the Oath Keepers, who was relentlessly plugged by Alex Jones for over a decade. That both groups, Stuart Rhodes character was found guilty of seditious conspiracy too, even though he oddly enough has a law degree from Yale, which is sort of strange. But you know, I guess how do you read these rounding up in, you know, extremely long sentences of dissidents? Where do you think this leaves us? I guess I find it disturbing.
Well, it's what we are doing here, at least in my mind, being a student of history, is we're going right down the same trail that every socialist government in the world, we're going right down the same trail that they've done. And at some point in time, I mean, let's kind of put it this way, and let's look back to 1798. Now, the Federalists who had been in charge of the government under Washington and then under John Adams. They were beginning to, their inflation rate was over 70%. The people were protesting. The people were saying, look, we've got to do something about this. The Federalists were about to lose power. And they knew it. And they knew that they had an upcoming election and Thomas Jefferson would be involved in it because he was in the one in 1796. So they knew Jefferson was going to be there. They knew Jefferson and the guys were pulling a little bit of something out of the air. And so they came up with the Alien and Sedition Act. And the Sedition Act was actually what was... And the Sedition Act stated very simply, you can't say anything bad about the government. Well, we're doing a flashback to 1798. You can't say anything bad about the government. And in one of the trials, a Joseph Callender, Justice Samuel Chase, told the jury, it doesn't make any difference if what Mr. Callender said was true or not. He said it. That is the crime.
Wow.
And so we're right back same place, Dave. Go ahead, buddy.
How many people were arrested in 1798? Because as I understand it, the laws were rewritten for the Civil War. Like they originated in the time you're talking about, and then they were rewritten and altered for the Civil War
era. Yes. Well, you know, we go back to a member of Congress from Vermont, Matthew Lyon. He criticized John Adams from the floor of the House of Representatives, was arrested and charged, and ended up losing. Of course, he had said it, so he had no defense. So he goes to prison and is fined a substantial amount of money. And in our history today, the only member of Congress ever reelected while they were in jail.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's and it gets really interesting. And Dave, can you hang on? I want to bring we've got James from Vancouver in. Can you stay here with us and be a part of the conversation?
I'm good to go. Yeah, just take your
time. All right, buddy. Hey, thanks. All we need now is Stephen Douglas Whitener, right?
I'll get him on the phone for us.
Hey, James, how you doing, buddy?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. time was they needed us, say, 50 years ago to be workers, and now they don't. And so they have reconsidered all those freedoms that they told us we had. And I just wanted to ask, my father, over a 30 or 40 year period, imported into Canada over $1 million worth of Wisconsin engines, brand new. I wondered, do they still make engines in Wisconsin, or are they made in China now?
Probably China, I would say. I don't know for sure, James, but I would say China.
Right. So this is how it goes. The Canadians and Americans who, worked hard for the last many decades have become obsolete. Back to you.
Oh, without a doubt. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that that is true. Right. And you're spot on with the fact with all of the industrialization, but not only that, but you made a very cogent point in the fact that look at how many jobs we've sent out of this country.
Right.
And so
I just want to make one point. You mentioned that law case with the slaves that went on for 10 years, right? I wanted to add
11.
That not only do you have to pay the law costs, but you've got to clothe them, you've got to feed them, you got to house them over a 10-year period. There's money there that probably has not been accounted for either.
Well, the money that was spent... Oh, go ahead, James. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, because you don't want your client in court looking despondent, because if the judge gets insulted by, you know, how your client looks, that's not going to be good, you see. So there's been a whole... hell of a lot of maintenance.
Buddy,
costs,
we got some. James, we got some music coming. We'll come back on a break out on the other side.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It ain't me. It must be you. Hey, James, you still with us, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, you were in a thought there, and we kind of got interrupted. You want to go ahead?
Well, I was just talking about how these people are going long in the market in order to destroy America by using all of these ideas you're mentioning in terms of breaking the spirit of America by taking over the newspapers, conditioning the people. And one remark I could make quickly is, if you want to whack at people and make them slaves, give them vaccines, going back to the polio vaccines we received, because I think that created a hell of a nasty effect on the population of, they call them the boomers, my generation, you see. This is another thing to do, is inoculate them with some toxic potion. Back to you.
Well, thank you, sir. And, James, certainly appreciate your call. We got that old wild man from South Carolina on here now. We got Stephen Douglas Whitener. Thank you, James. Go ahead, Stephen.
Howdy, y'all. Thanks for bringing me in, Mike. Y'all, you did such a great job, man. That first hour, I go back and write those agencies down and have that to show people. Look, see, you're a communist. Most people have seen that movie Goodfellas. You guys seen that movie Goodfellas? You know, that gangster movie?
Yeah.
I remember when he was going over his history, he said that what happened when they took over a business, right? If they got a little piece of it, then they would end up signing it over to them and they'd bring everything in and out the back door. And you know, it was just, that's what they've been doing to this country since the beginning. They got a little piece of it then. And they've been doing that to us, what they were doing to the businesses in that movie since then. That was that thought came to me while you were describing all of these things that happened going, like James said, back to when they were bringing in the, buying up all the newspapers and buying the influence and doing all these things by design. It's the same kind of thing as if they were coming in here and looting the business. If this country was a business, if this nation was a business, it's like a metaphor for that. And it's frustrating. You know, I don't know what we can do about that. I mean, you point out how it's done too. I mean, I really appreciate, and just like Dave said, I've learned a great deal from you over the last year or so.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, buddy. You flatter me. And I, again, appreciate that. Scorp, you want to jump in here, buddy?
Hey, it's deja vu all over again with Stephen Douglas Widener here. it seems like we're entering into a new phase of, or a new stage of, the takeover of our government and our culture. And I don't recall living through seeing so many dissidents being kind of rounded up and arrested. And I think it's a lot of ominous things on the horizon as the economy. I think we're in a very dire situation with inflation. I don't think there's any stopping it. And it seems like they're going to have to do something to cover all this up, Mike.
Well, guys, 13 years ago now, I was writing articles for one of the top libertarian websites on the internet, and I had been writing for about 5 years for this particular website, and I decided I kept getting emails from readers going, "What about the Oath Keepers? What about the Oath Keepers? Tell me about the Oath Keepers. What do you think? Why aren't you in the Oath Keepers?" So I wrote an article. And the article that I wrote was called Comfortable Patriotism. Well, the leader of the site I was writing for told me, he said, "Look, I can't publish that. I can't publish what you wrote. That is a clarion call for civil disobedience." And I said, "Oh, okay, what's wrong with civil disobedience? Isn't that how we formed this country?" And he went, "No, I can't publish that. I can't publish that." And I said, "Okay, fine." Well, ironically, guys, 2 days later, I've got two black SUVs in my yard in Colorado, and the FBI has come to visit me for the article I wrote, and they had a copy. Now, it wasn't published. How'd they get a copy? But
yeah,
they were. I think, and I still believe, the thing they didn't want me doing, and they didn't want it out there, was because I questioned the validity of the Oath Keepers back then. I didn't think they were real, and I thought it was a psyop. And so I put my thoughts in an article. And then obviously the federal government didn't want the Oath Keepers being exposed at that point in time.
Interesting, yeah, because I think they had to accumulate a big enough list of names of potential dissidents and people who were a potential problem in the future before that happened. But now we're in a different stage, aren't we? I mean, this is all kind of coming out in the open. And, you know, there's been a couple other arrests that haven't gotten a lot of press. Like, you know, one of the guys associated with the GDL, you can think what you want about them with their flyers, but this guy was actually arrested in San Diego here for, he went to Holland and used one of those laser projectors and projected, Anne Frank invented the ballpoint pen on the Anne Frank house, which, you know, you have to admit, it's kind of funny. But he's actually he might be extradited to The Hague to face hate crimes charges. And it's not getting very much publicity, but we'll see if he's been arrested. He's been released, but he might be extradited to The Hague. We'll see if that happens.
Oh, wow. Well, guys, we got Patrick in Texas here, and let's bring him on and see what Patrick's got to say. Sir, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I just want to, I agree with everything you said, the necessary and proper clause, the supremacy clause. That's all, you know, yeah. But there's one thing that whenever the Civil War, you know, the carpetbaggers came down for 13 years and they pilfered everything, you know, the Lehman Brothers and the Baruchs come in there and took the last nickel and dime from the widowers and stuff. But it was the common law grand juries, which before the federal government took it over. I mean, the people had full control of it. We can investigate the government. And they went after a lot of these carpetbaggers, along with the Confederate Army under a different name, with three letters. And they'd done a good job, too, but it was all done in the dark at night. But the common law grand jury before, when it was under the control of the people, was a powerful tool to get rid of these Marxists out of our government. What do you think about that?
Well, Patrick, I can tell you, I can give you the names of three or four people who are in prison in Colorado right now for trying to form a common law grand jury.
I know some, too. I know who runs the common law grand jury in Florida.
True. It has, but here's the point, and I ask everybody this question. You can have a common law grand jury, and you can indict whoever you want to. Where are you going to try them?
Well, you need enforcement. That's the problem, you know. And they won't. They will not work with us. They used to a little bit, and because they used to have a common law court here in Texas in 1992, but the pastor who was running it died. And nobody could fill his shoes. But, Roger Dodell in Florida runs the Florida Common Law Grand Jury. And he's very good at it. He'll tell you in a minute. They don't have the numbers, you know, because therefore you got no enforcement, you know. And until we got the numbers.
Still, Patrick, where are you going? Where are you going to try them? If you indict somebody with a common law grand jury, where are you going to try them? The courts aren't going to take it.
That's their courts, their statutory courts. Now, you take them to a common law court, and we control that. You know, but they defunded that. FDR, you know, and he right after the Second World War, you know, before that, he got all the law attorneys together and says, we're going to have military-style courts, and I don't care what you call them. And they turn all of their pleadings from common law pleadings to statutory pleadings, and that's the fruit from a poisonous tree.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, but I tell you what, I'm I do not have any faith whatsoever in these magic beans, because the fact of it is we have a totalitarian government, and a government that would give you a vaccine they knew you was going to kill you, don't care about your common law courts, they don't care about anything you try to do. We are under the heel of a despot, and it's not, you, we're not, there's nothing out there, no magic something that's going to change this. The people are going to have to get off their butts and do something.
I agree. I'm just saying, you know, that's a possibility.
I understand.
You're standing on good ground. All right, that's all. Thank you.
I understand,
buddy.
Right. Hey, thanks, Patrick. Dave or Steve, you got any comments on that before we bring in our old buddy Lark?
Go ahead,
well, I agree with you. Where you're going to try them? The courts are so obviously corrupt, but you've pointed out how they were designed that way from the beginning too. Just recently here in South Carolina, it was revealed that a convicted murderer was released early, violating a statute here that you have to first degree murder had to serve 30 years before they were eligible to be released. And this guy did some secret deal, and then it got all the way to the Supreme Court where that was returned, and now they've made this guy a fugitive. And I wonder how many more of those secret deals that have been made, you know, that we don't know about. That's just, you know, I don't trust the courts. I don't trust government, you know, and govern my own mentation is what I want to do. That's what I've tried. I've needed to do it, and I guess that's it. I just come bang my head because the government won't let you just leave you alone. Let you know, go. I'll go my own way, kind of thing. There's nowhere to go. They're going to hound you and come use their force to lock you up and call you crazy or a criminal or a seditious conspirator or whatever. And the dialectic that they've been using to enforce this is coming from the Fetzer, Jim Fetzer. They went after him with that thing and passed this judgment. And then Alex Jones in this completely ridiculous looking trial that didn't make any sense. A lot of these trials don't make any sense. And since it was made legal to use PSYOPs on the American people, propaganda, but you know, they legalized the PSYOPs back around about the time that event where 6 million died. I mean, no, nobody, whatever, you know, the Sandy whatever thing that they went after. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Well, ever since then, they've been legally coming and using those things against us. Those kind of operations are who knows what is an operation and what isn't these days. You know, make war by way of deception. I'm sorry, and I'll stop my rant with that. Let me.
That's all right, buddy. It's good. Dave, you got anything to say?
Well, just that I don't see how you arrest anybody and force them to show up to trial. So, I mean, you know, all that stuff was kind of put to an end anyway with the Timothy McVeigh operation in Oklahoma City. That it stopped all the militias and all kinds of patriotic people. It put the fear of God in all of them. And, you know, here we are now in a much worse place.
Absolutely. Well, let's see how old Lark's doing down there in Texas. Lark, come on in, buddy.
Well, you all have to forgive me. I need a little clarity. Now, are you going to take over Friday, or are you going to take over the time slot, Michael, or what?
Well, that appears that's what's happening, buddy.
I mean, Fridays or Monday through Friday? Forgive me.
No, just Friday. Just Friday.
Well, that's good. That's good. And by the way, I just want to say, if you mention the word libertarian or libertarianism over in Europe, they understand it's just another flavor of socialism.
Yeah, and it is.
And then regarding the Oath Keepers, OAF Keepers, what could possibly go wrong when you've got a Yale-educated Jewish lawyer heading it up?
What could possibly exactly. I think I mentioned that in my article. I think that's probably why it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't have much more to add, except I'm ecstatic that you're going to be here on Fridays because it's going to liven things up. And by the way, I knew John Stadmiller. And I'm telling you, if he was around today, you would have to you'd have to take him to school, Michael. Because I remember, Mike, that John always sought the answers to all of our travails was the Constitution. And longtime listeners would know this, but you know, I like John. He was an everyman. I spent 18 hours with him once, just on the road. And by his own admission, he's only had a ninth grade education.
Well, he did pretty well for himself. And let's I don't want to talk about the deceased here, Lark. Appreciate you calling him, buddy.
He was a great guy. That's all I can tell you. I'm just saying that if he was around today, he would learn something from you. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
All right, buddy. Let me jump up here. I think I know this. Thanks, Lark. But I think I know this next caller, too. I think I may recognize him if it's the same Terry in Colorado I've known for quite a while. You with us, Terry?
I'm here.
All right,
I didn't know you were going to me yet. Hey, I'm on this common law grand jury thing. I think it's important for people to understand that it's a misnomer. Even though a grand jury should operate under common law once it's seated, it is not seated under common law. It's seated under statute. So anybody that's trying to do that, like they misquote Scalia in that case, because Scalia said, of course, a grand jury operates under the auspices of a court, and if it's not operating under the auspices of a court, it has no subpoena power, and it has no place to take its presentment or indictment. So it has no ability. It has no ability to enforce its own decision, or to further that decision so that it will be prosecuted. So it's an act of rebellion, actually, because they are operating outside statutory law, and the grand juries are seated under statute.
Absolutely. I'm very much aware of that, and I appreciate that clarification, buddy. Dave or Stephen, you have a comment to what Terry has told us?
Well, great to hear Terry's voice again. It's a blast from the past for me. I appreciate hearing him. I agree completely with what he said. He's spot on.
Stephen?
Yeah, that explained it pretty well for me. It's like putting the cart before the horse. If you got no place to take the indictment to, and you have no subpoena power, like you said, where are you going to try it? That explains it very well why that's a flaw in that, and why it would be an act of rebellion to try to operate such a committee or jury without the sponsorship or whatever of justification or validation of some court, then you're creating your own court. And I mean, we've got to create our own system somehow and somewhere to ever fix this, but I have no idea how to do it. I mean, that's just, I'll toss it back with that thought.
Well, I appreciate that. Terry, any other comments, sir?
The problem that we've got is the prosecuting attorneys or the district attorneys and the courts are not operating or managing the grand juries under law. They are not supposed to control the jury once it's seated, and that jury is supposed to be able to actually investigate anything that it chooses to investigate, and these prosecuting attorneys and district attorneys and even the courts are shutting down the ability of the juries to act properly. So that's a major problem. We've got courts and attorneys who are controlling the grand juries when they are not authorized under law to do so.
Yeah, but they keep doing it. I'll give you an example that happened right there in Colorado when I lived there. We finally talked a new DEA back in 2012. We finally talked him into forming a grand jury. And he went to the court system, and the court system said, okay, form your grand jury. He got a list, and he selected a grand jury. But then, in his stupidity, I don't know how else to say it, but in his stupidity, the only cases he ever brought to the grand jury were the ones he had already indicted. And, of course, the judge, ruling judge at that time said, wait, you're just wasting time here, counselor. Why are we doing this? So, that ended up being a catastrophe. Let's see. We've got a couple more callers. Let's try to get them in while we have the time. And stay with us, Terry, if you want to. Scott in Nevada. Scott, how are you?
Hello. Interesting show. I'll try to make it quick. I got a quote, Chisholm versus Georgia. So prior to the American Revolution, the sovereignty was held in an individual, like a king, a queen, a priest, or whatever. So I'm going to read from Chisholm versus Georgia. At the Revolution, the sovereignty devolved on the people, and they are truly the sovereigns of the country, but they are sovereigns without subjects. Unless you count the African slaves, and have none to govern but themselves, the citizens of America are equal as fellow citizens and as joint tenants in the sovereignty. That's Chisholm versus Georgia, 1793. So I have
Marshall.
Hello?
I said, thank you, John Marshall.
That was Chief Justice John Jay time. I had this discussion with Statmiller, which is what sparked this memory when somebody just mentioned Statmiller. Now, the thing is, how do you use this material? So I've seen this put into a court in a criminal case under the Sixth Amendment. So under the Sixth Amendment, you got a right to know the nature, character of the charges. So this guy puts it in, says, hey, under the Sixth Amendment, You know, I want to know the nature and character of the charges. Here's my status. I'm a joint tenant in the sovereignty. Who are you, and by what authority are you bringing the charges? Well, they emptied the courtroom, and they have a series of questions. There's 22 questions on the list the last time I checked. And it goes like, do you have a Social Security number? Do you have a driver's license? Are you registered to vote? The answer to everything is no, because it's not you. You know, it's not you. They're talking about the state-created guy. But don't say anything about that. Just say no. No, 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 no. The last question is, do you have any money? Well, this guy in L.A., he reaches into his pocket and he goes, well, I just happen to have a silver ounce. And the report was that judge moved so fast to dismiss that case that the gavel was a blur. So we do have, you know, what do you want to say? The keys to our individual freedom are here, but they don't make it easy. Okay, I'll get off the air. You're about to close the show.
All right, thanks, Scott. Let's jump to Matthew in Louisiana. Matthew, we got a very short time. I'm sorry that we're going to be kind of short, buddy, but how can we be with you today?
Well, time is short. Time is short by definition. The hourglass is almost empty. What I have to say is, Mr. Gaddy, you've been great. I'm a student of civil law and its corollary, common law, and you're just a fantastic historian, and God bless you. I mean, you're an asset to RBN. And then I have to say to Mr. Scorpio here, who I've never spoken to before, who went to college, I believe, in New Orleans, where I live. I'm born in the land of Lincoln, and Lincoln was a Marxist traitor. And God bless Louisiana. God bless RBN. Mr. Scorpio, I'll talk to you later. And Mr. Gaddy, you are a true asset. You're 24-karat gold for RBN. Thank you.
Wow. Thanks, Matthew. Yeah. I'll need to get you to talk to my wife. just kidding, guys. Just kidding. But thanks, Steve, and I really appreciate that. Guys, we're about done here. Steven, you want to recap, and then we'll let Scorpio recap?
I can get Boomer mute off again. Yes, thanks for letting me join you guys, and really looking forward to learning from you every Friday evening. And I try to catch this live as often as I can, but if I don't catch this live, I'm glad to be able to get the archives of this information, because I think it's very important that people learn the actual history of the way we got where we are now. You know, that's step one. And thanks again. I'll toss it to Dave.
Thank you, buddy.
Michael,
Dave.
It's an honor to be on with you, and I appreciate the call from the last caller. That was cool. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Terry, are you going to be with me a little later tonight?
I want a call for the folks down in Archuleta County.
Yep, and that'll be about an hour and a half, but we'll get that done. But guys, and everyone, please donate to RBN. We need to keep this platform going. We need to keep free speech going in America. So do what you can. And gosh, guys, it has been a pleasure. And Dave and Steven, thank you so much for jumping in with me, buddy. It has been indeed a pleasure. And I look forward to seeing everyone on that's tomorrow, Saturday. I'll see you guys tomorrow afternoon as well. And we'll be jumping into the Constitution and Lincoln again. So there's the music. Everyone take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.